You guys don't know what I'm preaching on this morning, but I do. You say you better. No, I do. And I want you to know that we have sung my sermon about three times this morning. And it was not by our order, but it was by God's order. And thus, there is something that the Lord wants us to see this morning. And I want you to realize that for the urgency, so that you'll listen, and so you'll get what God has to say to you this morning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's always a blessing to my heart when I come and we sing songs that have to do with what I'm going to preach on. It always thrills me. And boy, we've done it this morning. The choir sung a moment ago, there's a time and a season for everything. And then we sung a while ago that we're going to leave here and we're going to go to the Lord. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to go over on the other side. And you'll see all that in just a moment. We've anchored our soul in the haven of rest. All right, now look at your Bible, please, in verse 1 of the third chapter. These are some familiar verses to you. You've heard these verses, no doubt, if you've been saved for any length of time, probably read them yourself. And here is Solomon. He calls himself the preacher at the beginning of this book. He is giving us some of the lessons that he has learned about life, and giving them from a pastoral standpoint, from a preacher standpoint. And in verse 1 of the third chapter, he says this: to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow. Now, I want you to notice that little phrase. That's the text that I have chosen this morning. The wise old preacher said, a time to rend, and a time to sow. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And Lord, I suppose that I could speak on all of these different times and seasons that make up what we call life. And Lord, I'm sure that there's application and there are things that would benefit all of us. But Lord, you've laid on my heart this morning to speak on this seventh verse and to take this little truth that was given, this little observation that the preacher made about life, when he said there is a time to rend and a time to sow. And Lord, I pray that you will bless the message. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will fill me with your Spirit and enable and give me the words that I need to say today. Lord, I want to be an encouragement. I want to help folks. I want to be able to say something that will help folks see through the maze of deception that the devil offers. And Lord, to view things through spiritual eyes. And so, Father, give me, I pray, your power and your blessing. Lord, I pray also for my people as they listen, that, Lord, it will not just be the words of a sermon that they hear, but that they will be eternal truths from heaven. And that, Lord, we'll hang on every word and hide the word of God in our hearts. Lord, I pray that as you plow the soil of our hearts, may you plow deep. And Lord, may the seed be sown deep so that it brings forth an abundance of healthy crops. And Lord, that we may do much in the days ahead as a result of what we learn. That, Lord, we may harvest much in the future as a result of what we learn right now. Lord, give us, I pray, a great service and speak to hearts and stir our souls. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The words that I have chosen in the seventh verse this morning are very familiar words. Actually, I suppose every statement that is made here to illustrate the point that he makes in verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. I suppose all of these phrases are very valuable phrases, and if you thought on them, there are many lessons that we could learn. But the statements that are made here remind us, especially the seventh one that I want to one in the seventh verse that I want to preach on this morning, remind us of a lesson that I'm sure all of us know, but it doesn't hurt to call to the attention. They teach us that invaluable lesson that for everything under the heavens, there is a time. He says there's a time to weep. And there is a time to laugh. Now, we know that weeping and laughing are on the opposite sides of the scale from each other. We know that. We understand that. The Bible here says there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. We all know that. We don't remember the day that we were born. However, we know that we were born. Other people remember it. Other people tell us about it. And we know we were or we wouldn't be here. But we've also all experienced death in our family and our friends and our loved ones. And so we know that the preacher was right. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. Now, what I want to do is speak to you this morning on the phrase, there is a time to rend and a time to sow. Now, I have chosen this phrase because it gives a vivid expression to a law of progress. I like progress. I think things ought to progress as they go along. I don't think we ought to regress. I think we ought to be in the constant state of progress. I think that intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, in every area, progressing is a whole lot better than regressing. And I think that all of us can grasp the simplicity of these other statements here. There's a time to be born, a time to die. We all understand what that means. There is a time to weep. There's a time to laugh. We can all identify with that. We've all had times in our lives where we've been brokenhearted and we've wept. But there's other times we can look back and see where we've been joyful and we've been happy. But what about the phrase that I've chosen for a text this morning? What does that mean? I was sitting in the office Tuesday morning and just reading what the preacher had to say here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I came to this phrase and I thought, you know, that's a tremendous statement there. And I just sat and thought about it and wrote down a few thoughts. And I want to share those thoughts with you this morning in this message. To rend means, of course, to tear, to divide, to rip into pieces, to break into pieces. The picture here is of someone with a piece of cloth. Someone has a piece of fabric, and they rend it, they tear it, and then they sew that piece of cloth into something useful, like a robe or a coat or a dress, something that is useful. Something is rent. It is torn, it is divided, so that it can bring forth something that is useful. Something is not torn just so it's torn. It is torn so that it can be used to bring about something useful. Now, please get that and remember that. It is not torn just to be torn. It is torn so that it can be sown. It is torn so that it can bring forth something useful. Now, folks, it's never enjoyable to experience those tearing moments. It is never enjoyable to experience the tearing, but it is never fun to have to lose someone or to be torn apart or to be divided, but it is enjoyable to be put back together into something that is good. It is never enjoyable to have to get in the car and drive away and leave your child in a school somewhere or in the military somewhere. It's never enjoyable to have to drive away from your child or from your parents or from a loved one. I mean, but the reunion times are always a wonderful thing. I lived under the tutelage of my father for 18 years. And in that 18-year period, I don't know that I had ever seen my father cry. For 18 years, my dad is one of these old-school, hard-nosed, you don't show your emotion type guys, you know. He's not like that now, but he was like that then. And I had never seen, to my knowledge, my dad weep. And but then they took me to college. And out in front of Broken Shire Dormitory on the sidewalk, my mother said her goodbyes, and she grabbed a hold of me around the neck and squeezed me, and she wept, and she cried, and she boo-hooed. And I think everybody in South Carolina was looking to see what was going on with my mother's emotions. I then looked over at my dad. And I thought, well, you know, I really don't know what to do here. It was kind of an awkward moment. Do I hug him? Is he expecting me to hug him? Do I hug him? Is he going to hug me? Just what's going to go on? And I remember turning around, and I stuck my hand out, and my dad grabbed a hold of my hand, pulled me to him, and just squeezed me, and began to weep on my shoulders. And, of course, when he started to weep, I started to weep. My mom was weeping. My brother was weeping. Half of South Carolina was weeping, if I remember right. And it was quite an emotional time. But it's never good to get in a car. And I remember standing there with a hole in my heart, watching as my parents' vehicle drove out of sight, knowing that it would be 3.5 months before I would see them again. But oh, how I remember that reunion when we came home in the middle of December. I remember getting out of the car and running up the hill. And I can remember my mother and my dad, both of them, even though it was freezing cold, coming out of the house, just bounding out of the house and running down the slippery steps to greet me. I mean, parting is never enjoyable. Reunion is always a wonderful thing. There is a time to rend, and there is a time to sow. Now, there are many areas of application that I could prove this truth to you from this morning, but I want us to think about the words of the preacher here, a time to rend and a time to sow, and I want to show you that this is a universal principle that God's people need to grasp. First of all, I want you to think of this principle in this world in which we live. Now, I'm not going to have you turn to it for the sake of time, because I'm going to preach to about 3 o'clock this afternoon. No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to have you turn for the sake of time, but I do want you to remember, go back in your mind to the book of Genesis, to the creation account. I want you to go back in your mind where God created the universe and all that is in it. It is clear that this universe and this world in which we live was rent by the hand of God into all of its infinite beauty that we see today. You see, there is one great word that stands out in the creation process. And that one great word that just stands out in the creation process, in the opening chapters of the Word of God, is the word divided. The Bible says, the Scriptures tell us, and God divided. Over and over and over, we see those words used. In other words, folks, God rent the heavens, and God divided the atmosphere from the outer space. God rent the veil of the night and divided it from the dawn of the day. God rent the land into the snowy peaks and divided it from the valleys where the rivers flow. I mean, there is a battle strategy that is commonly referred to as divide and conquer. And we could say that when God created the universe that we live in, we could say that God employed this strategy of divide and conquer. He divided the night from the day. He divided the sun from the moon. He divided that which he had created without form and void, the scriptures tell us in the first chapter of Genesis. And he gave us a world of beauty. Hey, God rent the side of Adam that he might bring into the world an Eve. But wait, here's the amazing thing. You and I do not see the world as something that is divided. We don't see the world as something that is rent. We don't see the world as something that has been torn. We see it as sewn and knitted together as a perfect, whole, complete, finished world. We don't see the world divided. We see it as a perfect unit. With each 24-hour period having the day follow the night, we see the summer end and the fall begin. We see the ugliness and the deadness of winter followed by the beauty and life of spring. And it never fails to follow that order. Folks, what I'm saying to you is that the preacher sat down and he thought about life and he thought about the universe that we live in, and he realized that this is a universal principle. This is the way it has always been. It's the way it is now with our lives. It's the way it was when God created this world. He took nothing. He took chaos and he created out of it a world. He took that which was rent and he sewed it together and made something useful and beautiful out of it. We see there was a time in the Creator's plan to rend, and there was a time to sow. There was a time when it was created, when it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then there was a time when it was sown into something of order and usefulness. There was a time to break the mass of chaos. And then there was a time when the mass was sewn back into something beautiful and useful. All right, you understand the principle now? All right, now, with that in mind, think secondly with me. Think of this principle in the area of God's method of giving blessing. Think of this principle in the area of God's method of giving blessing. I mean, just think about it for a minute, folks. Let's take Abraham, for example, and use the life of Abraham to make the point that I want you to see. There was a time when God rent Abraham. There was a time when God tore Abraham. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, go back in your mind to Genesis chapter 12. Go back in your mind to that passage of Scripture when here was a man called Abram in his homeland of Chaldea. Here was a man who was just doing his thing, and all of a sudden, God showed up. And God said to him, Abraham, get thee up and get thee out. Get up and get out of this land that you're in and go down to a land where I will show thee. And Abraham was obedient to God. Folks, do you think that he stood and looked around and said, all right, man, I get to leave home? No, no, he did not. He was not thrilled and excited about that, I'm sure. He was not happy that he had to leave his home town and his home people and his mom and his dad and his brothers and his sisters. But yet he had a commission. He had a command from God. There was a time to rend in the life of Abraham when he was chosen, when he was torn away from his home and his kindred and the place where he was born. Now, why did God rend him? Why did God tear him in such a dramatic fashion? Well, folks, you keep reading and you will see that there is a promise that God gave to Abraham. He said, get up and get out. And so when Abraham was obedient, all of a sudden the Lord comes back and says, Abraham, out of thee all the nations of the world will be blessed. Because of your obedience, I'm going to bless the world. I will make of thee a great nation. Hey, folks, look here. The rending was designed so that God could accomplish the sowing. There would have been no sowing had not first there been the rending. I mean, think of this in the area of God's method of giving us blessing. The reason for the rending was to accomplish the sowing. Don't forget, dear friend, nothing is ever born without travail. And God had to rend Abraham in order to sow a nation. God had to rend Abraham to put together a nation that would eventually bring us the Lord Jesus and a spiritual seed that is as numerous as the sand of the sea. So, folks, what I'm trying to get you to see here this morning is this. Look here. The blessings come to us after the rending. The blessings come to us after the rending. Abraham was separated. He was torn apart from his loved ones. He was driven, as it were, into solitude. He left an area where he knew everybody, and God sent him to a place where he knew nobody. God sent him out to a land where he was a stranger and a pilgrim, and he wandered in that land, not knowing a single soul in that land, and facing many heartaches and many trials along the way. But can you not see that in this are the ways of God? After the time of rending, after the time came of the rending in his life, then came the sowing. Do you remember that when he got in, once he got in that land, in the 14th chapter and in verse 13, God told him, said, Abraham, listen, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham looked around and thought, what? How's that possible? I'm an old man. And my wife Sarah, she's an old lady. How are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed in us? And he knew that what God was saying was that from your seed will all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And here he is an old man, and here she is an old woman, and they have no children. How are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed through Abraham and Sarah when they're old and they have no children? And so what happened? Well, Abraham was separated. He was then got in that land. God said, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And sure enough, it happened just exactly as God said it would. Miraculously, that old lady was able to give birth to a baby, and it was from that old lady's child, Israel, that Jacob, that Israel came, or Isaac came, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had Joseph, and right on down until the Lord Jesus Christ. So, folks, can you not see? Can you not see? In that, the ways of God. If Abraham had not been rent, there would have been no sowing. There would have been no Israel. And if no Israel, then there would have been no Jesus. And if there had been no Jesus, then there would be no salvation. And if there was no salvation, then folks, we are wasting our time here this morning. You understand what I'm saying? So, the rending and the sowing are often God's method of giving blessing to God's people. That leads me, thirdly, to say that this law, this principle, affects us in our everyday life. Dear friend, whether you realize it or not, this principle is at work right now in your life. It is impacting you. I want you to think of the rending and sowing in daily life. Let's take another Bible example and let me illustrate showing you another Bible character. Let's take Jacob. You remember Jacob's story. He was a trickster. He was a deceiver. He had conned his brother out of the birthright and out of the blessing. And his mama said to him, son, you better get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you. And so he decided that was good advice. And he decided it was time to leave. Now, when Jacob said goodbye to his family and left his home, that was the rending of a fond tie. His mother kissed him goodbye, and his father wept for him because for all they knew, they would never see their son again. But if Jacob had not left home, now think about this, folks. If Jacob had not left home and gone from home to Bethel, to the house of God, Bethel, Beth meaning house, El, God. If Jacob had not left home and went to Bethel, the house of God, he would never have had the vision of the ladder. He would have never fallen asleep and had that dream where he saw the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. Had he not done, had that rending in his life, he would have never experienced that great moment. He had to be separated. Listen to me now. He had to be separated in order to find himself in a life re-knit in a new and closer relationship with God. He had to be rent from mother and father so that he could rise to the place of a closer fellowship with the Lord. And folks, so it is with each and every one of us. Someone has said that hindsight is 20/20. We can look back upon our lives and we can realize and we can understand now why we had to go through the rending process. Because now, through the rending process, we are now walking with the Lord. We are enjoying fellowship with Him that we would never have known if we hadn't. You see, folks, I'm saying that God knows what He's doing when you have to go through the rending process. Don't you get discouraged in the rending process. Don't you get down when things start to crumble around you, when you get that bad report from the doctor, when your job runs out, when, you know, there's problems that come along. I just, for the life of me, don't understand why it is that when we start going through the rending process, when God looks down upon us and says, I'm trying to get you over here, so I'm going to take you through a little storm. And when we go through the storm, why is it that we quit church? Why is it that we don't read our Bibles? Why is it that we don't pray? I mean, it's when we get over here in the rending process. Listen, you're never going to be sown into what God says is a useful and a beautiful garment until there is the rending over here. And yet in the midst of the rending process, that's where we want to throw in the towel, give up, quit. No, my friend, you're never going to get from being torn to get to something useful until you go through that process. It's never easy to have God rend you, but the sowing is always a wonderful thing. It's always a wonderful thing. Man, I tell you, I run into people all the time, and I say, how long you been coming to Open Door? Well, we've been coming for, you know, a month or 6 months or whatever. I say, well, have you joined the church yet? Well, no. Why not? Well, we're, we got hurt in our last experience with the church, and we got offended, and we got hurt, and our little hearts are broken, and so we're just going to sit, and we're going to now, and you're not going to do squat for God. That's what you're going to do. I mean, the devil knows what he's doing. He's got you over here in the rent stage, sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. Listen, folks, Elijah got into trouble when he went over there thinking he was the only one that was hurt. When he went over there thinking he's the only one that had any problems. Elijah crawled under the juniper tree, stuck his spiritual thumb in his mouth, and felt sorry for himself. And it was the Lord that came along and said, get up, man, get with it here. You just won a great victory. Listen, folks, don't let the devil get you under the juniper tree. Yes, you're going to have some rending in your life, but the rending is valuable because God cannot sow something useful and profitable unless there is the rending first. So don't let the devil get you down and hold you down. I mean, my good. Well, we're just going to sit and wait on the Lord. Oh, baloney. Get busy. Get busy. Join the church. Join the choir. Join the Sunday school department. Join the master's club. Join the soul winners club. Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself because you got your little heart broke. Listen, your little heart's going to get broken again one of these days before you die. That's life. Read it. Read it. There's a time to mourn and a time to laugh. I mean, your heart's going to be broken. That's life. What if every time I got my heart hurt, what if every time I got offended, what if every time things didn't just go hunky-dory for me, I did what most Christians do? What are you laughing at? That's what you do. Well, Pastor, somebody's got to preach. I don't feel like it. But, Pastor, you're the pastor. Yeah, and you're the church member. You're the choir member. You're the Sunday school teacher. Well, Pastor, I just feel like the Lord's laid on my heart to just take a little time off. Well, that's what I'm going to do. Just go rest a while. I did this morning in the early service, and some lady over here goes, okay, that's enough. It was either getting too close to home, which is what I think. It was either getting too close to home, you know, she's just a little too uncomfortable for her. But folks, if you don't have the rending process, you're never going to get to the sowing process. I would not be here today as the pastor of this great church. I would never be here today having this wonderful staff of men around me. I would never be here today having this congregation of people. I would never have this had I not gone through the rending back through the years. But boy, that's just a part of life. Well, Pastor, we just got hurt. I know, and God bless you. I'm so sorry you did. And listen, my hand in the air. I'm going to do everything I can to keep from hurting you. I mean, I don't get up here and say, okay, how can I whack somebody in the head today? You know, how can I knock somebody's legs out from under them today? That's not what I do. Man, I come in here with a message that I've prayed over and thought over and labored over and said, okay, God, give me something that can help somebody. Give me something, Lord, that can get some sinner to understand their need of Jesus. Lord, help me preach the Word of God. Amen. One guy said to me this morning, he said, I try to get my kids to come and they won't come. And I said, why? He said, well, they feel like when they come that you're just preaching to them. Good. I am. Well, so they feel like they're the only ones in the building. Then get right with God. You won't feel that way. That's the rending process. Folks, it's never easy to have God rend you, but the sowing is always a wonderful thing. Let me illustrate that. You remember that guy in the Old Testament named Job? And the devil went to the Lord and he said, he went to God and the devil said, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro about the earth, trying, seeking whom I may devour. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered, had the devil considered Job? God said of him that he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He was a perfect man. I mean, it's Job. Of course the devil considered Job. And the devil sneeringly said, the only reason that he serves you is because you're good to him. He only serves you because you bless him. And God said, all right, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to take my hand off of him. And you just have at him, but don't take his life. And so the devil came and launched everything he had. You talk about a rending process. You talk about someone getting divided. You talk about somebody getting his apple cart turned over. And all of a sudden, here's Job, this man blessed, and he lost everything he had. He lost his house. I mean, a tornado came, blew his house over. He lost all his cattle and all his goats and all his sheep, lost them all. They were all gone, everything. All of his kids lost every one of them. They all got killed. And then to top it all off, he got this disease. The devil inflicted him with a disease. We don't know what it was. But this disease caused these boils to rise up all over his body. And he was miserable with pain. And he didn't have any morphine either. He couldn't run to the pharmacy and get some help. He just had to suffer. And it got so bad and the pain was about to drive him crazy. And he went out and sat on an ash heap and took a broken pottery to relieve the pain, cut and scraped the infection out of those boils that were on his body. He was about to go nuts with the pain. And then to top all that off, his wife comes over, his helpmeet, his encouragement, and she looks at him sitting in the ash heap, blood coming out of him, swollen up with boils and popping the boils and squeezing the insides out of it and the excruciating pain it was in. And she looks at him and she says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? That was a real blessing, wasn't it? And old Job looked over and said, honey, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. When I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. And he just didn't quit. His three friends came by, mocked him. They said, you're just going through this because of all that sin in your life. Job says, to my knowledge, there's no sin. I've searched my soul. You say, well, what happened? Well, Job got a rending. That's what happened. There was some dividing there. There was some tearing there. Job had to go through some stuff, some big stuff. But wait a minute, go to the end of the book. And when you get to the end of the book, you're going to see in that last chapter of Job that God blessed him as he began to sew it back together, as he took the material that was torn, that was rent, he then began to sow in his life. And you get to the end of the book and you find Job doubly blessed. Everything that he had lost back here in the rending process, he got back twofold over here in the sowing process. You know, there's not a one of us that enjoys the rending process, but we sure do look forward to the sowing process. And dear friend, mark it down. Some of you are sitting here right now going through the rending. Would you just be encouraged? Would you just be like Job and say, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit church. I'm not going to quit reading my Bible. I'm not going to quit soul winning. I'm not going to turn my back on my faith. I'm just going to go through it. And when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. You get over here on the other side one of these days, and you're going to see a blessing like you've never experienced in your life. And then number four, I want you to finally allow me to take this thought to the graveside. Look again at the text. A time to rend and a time to sow. You know, sooner or later, in every family circle, there comes the sad and bitter time to rend. In every family. You've been there. I've been there. It's not easy. You drive by any cemetery in Carroll County and you listen carefully and you'll hear in your mind's ear a cry coming from every grave. There's a time to rend. We've all experienced it. But wait a minute, dear friend. If there's a time to rend, according to our principle, there is a time to sow. If there is a time to rend, there is a time to sow. I will never forget that rending of my heart back in 1978 when the phone call came and I rushed home as fast as I could rush. And they said, your mother just had a heart attack and has passed away. Oh, the pain that filled my heart. Nothing hurts like the rending of a loved one from this world. But dear friend, wait a minute. If you have a rending, it's for a purpose. The rending is to bring about the sowing. And man, I got to reading in the Scripture, and I found a verse of Scripture that I held on to that got me through that difficult time. To be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. And it occurred to me, wait a minute, my mom's not dead. She just doesn't live here anymore. My mom's not dead. She's more alive now than she's ever been. She is walking on streets of gold and looking into the face of the blessed Savior that I've only seen by faith. She's not dead. I mean, dear friend, listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These things write we unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Hey, you don't bury eternal life. You just turn it loose. So I kept reading in the Bible, and I read that one of these days, for me, there was a time when I was born, and there will be a time when I'm going to die. You know what that means? That means that now for 33 years, we've been apart, almost 32 years, we've been apart. For 32 years, she's lived in heaven, and I've lived here. But one of these days, and I'm not looking forward to it, don't get me wrong. I'm not in any hurry to get there, but one of these days I'm going to die. And when I do, that means I get to see her again. Because the same Savior that saved her is the same Savior that saves me. Yes, there was a rending, and yes, it hurt, and yes, I wept, and yes, I cried. And for all these years, there's been this longing in my heart, but wait a minute, there's going to be a sowing one of these days. And I'm going to see her face to face. It'll be worth it all, dear friend, one of these days when you see Christ. It'll be worth it all. We sometimes lose sight of that great truth. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that because my Redeemer liveth, I know that my mother also, who knew the Redeemer, lives. And I know that she's in heaven right now with the Redeemer. Hey, folks, listen, I cannot believe that lives that that have been won will not be won again someday. I just can't imagine that. In ways that I cannot completely understand, in unions that are spiritual and not physical, in perfect and complete agreement, ties that are broken will one day be reknit again around the glorious throne of God. Folks, don't forget, Jesus made the statement, in my Father's house are many what? And if it were not so, I would have told you. Hey, heaven's a real place. Back many years ago, John Rice wrote a book on heaven, sent it to Zondervan to get published, and they sent the manuscript back to him and said, you shouldn't capitalize heaven. It's not a real place. John Rice sent it back to him and said, publish it as is. Heaven is as real a place as Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, just because you hadn't seen it doesn't mean it ain't real. And I know you ain't supposed to say ain't in the pulpit, so don't ever do it. But for emphasis sake, for the emphasis sake, I said it so you'll get it. Heaven's a real place. Heaven's a real place. Boy, there's got to be the rending for us to realize that. Man, what a great truth that is. Isn't it amazing? I mean, don't forget, dear friend, Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And that is one of the deepest yearnings of my heart, to once again see my loved ones who have gone on. I was thinking about this morning as I was driving in. I've got so many church members that I've stood at the side of their casket and stood at the side of their grave, and I've said ashes to ashes and dust to dust. So many. My soul. Old Barney Dunlap. I can't wait to see Barney again. He's probably going to want to go play 18 holes as soon as I see him. I know he will. Let's go play 18, Pastor. I know he will. He'll want to go play Riviera or want to go play Pebble Beach. I know he will. I'm telling you, folks, we've got so much to look forward to. And here we are now in the rending, this thing called life. There is a time to rend, but thank God there is a time to sow. And that day is coming soon. I hope you realize the urgency of such a statement as what is made here. There's a time to rend when the new grave is dug, but there is a time to sow when the trumpet sounds. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That's my prayer. Let this message apply to your heart. Listen, folks, it's time that some of you that have been through the rending process get out of it and let God put some clothes on you. Let God put some fashion on you. Let God put some warmth on you. Let God help you. It's time. Some of you, you've been in the rending process, and now you're sitting here all beaten and all battered and all shattered by the rending process. Now it's time to say, okay, Lord, you took me through that for a reason. Now let's get over here. Lord, put something on me here. Put something on me here. Make me useful. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. Every head bowed. Lord, you know our needs today, and how I pray that you will bless and meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, we many times fail to realize and understand just exactly what's going on in our lives. So many times, Lord, we just face each day and take it as it comes. And Lord, we don't stop and think about the fact that it just might be that what we're facing is the rending process that comes from Thee. That what we're facing just may be You getting ready to put a beautiful garment upon our shoulders, make us into something that we never thought we would be. And Lord, I pray that You will bless this message to our hearts this morning. And Lord, help folks to realize the rending is only done so that the sowing can take place. And Lord, may we not get discouraged. And Lord, may we hear with our spiritual ears this morning what the Spirit has to say. Lord, speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for a moment. How many of you in here this morning will say, Pastor, God's using the message this morning to speak to my heart. I see what you're saying, and the Holy Spirit's making some application in me. And preacher, I want you to pray for me. God's speaking to my heart this morning. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you this morning? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Yes, God bless you, folks. Yes, God bless you. Many hands, many hands. Amen. Good, good. You may put your hands down. Thank you. God bless you. And I am going to pray and ask the Lord to help you. Let me ask this. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, you basically preach to your church folks today. But Pastor, I'm not sure I'm even saved. I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. I came to church today looking for something. Well, my friend, I hope you realize that what you're looking for is the Lord. And I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many here would say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Preacher, pray for me. Could you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you and ask God to help you. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. All right, now, Father, you know our needs today, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God to meet the needs in our lives. Lord, all over this building are Christians that love you, Lord. They wouldn't be here if they didn't love you. And yet, Lord, they're in the rending process right now. And, Lord, I pray that you will help them to realize the purpose for the rending. The fabric is torn so that it can be used to make something useful. And Lord, may we yield ourselves and quit rebelling in the rending. Quit rebelling. Quit fighting against it. And just say, Lord, here am I. send me. Lord, I pray that you'll bless these folks that have raised their hands this morning. And Lord, may they surrender and yield themselves to the will of God for their lives. Lord, there are folks that need to join the fellowship of this church this morning. There are folks that need to follow you in believers' baptism. They've been saved, but they haven't been scripturally baptized yet. Lord, there are folks that need to make up their minds that they're going to get in the Soul Winners Club, or they're going to join the choir, or they're going to surrender to drive a bus. And Lord, you've been speaking to hearts. So Lord, I pray that you will just do a real work here this morning and do what only you can do. Lord, I can't do it. I wish I had the power to do it, but I can't do it. But Lord, you can. And so I pray that you'll speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.